Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Hello, guys and girls, and welcome back to another episode of A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Today, we'll get to go through some of the amazing action at All England in Birmingham last week. But first of all, I want to thank my newest patron, Josephine, for signing up at patreon.com/Vittinghus. Josephine, your support is so appreciated, and I'm really looking forward to share more of my work with you, and of course, all the other amazing patrons of my podcast. But now, let's get on with the talk about All England. Well, of course, look at the five questions I raised last week before the matches began, but I'll also give a short update on some of the most interesting storylines in terms of Olympic qualification, as the results last week obviously had a big impact on some of those. So lots to get to, so let's just get started. Let's start off with the men's singles. As I said last week, this was for me the most interesting question during the All England, to see if it was actually Victor Axelsen or Shi Yuqi who's the real world number one at the moment. I know Victor is ranked world number one, but as I said last week, Shi Yuqi is for sure the player in form. But I have to say that the week in Birmingham didn't really give us an answer to this question. I would pretty much say it was just a tie, basically. Victor, he looked amazing in the first match against Srikanth Kidambi from India. I would say he basically destroyed him, beating him 21-9, 21-9, and it looked like the good old Victor, who is just dominating on all aspects of the match. I think in his second round against Wing Hung Yang from China, you saw some small signs that there was still a little bit of insecurity, but he still closed it down in two games, and I would say a pretty cynical performance, actually. He was playing it on one of the outside courts, which is pretty rare for a guy like Victor not to be on one of the two TV courts, court one or two. But yeah, he solved it pretty well, and I thought, yeah, okay, he's really looking like he wants to get to prove a point after the past few not so good performances, to his standard at least. But against Ginting, somehow it just didn't go right for him. It looked like it was more of the same in the first game when he beat Ginting 21-8 and he was basically just killing him on court. And Ginting, I'll have to say, he played awesome match. Like, the way he came back into the match and the level he found was just unbelievable, especially given what kind of results he's been producing in the past couple of months. But I also think that Victor was showing like all the signs of insecurity in his game. Like, you could see with the way that he was moving and like between the rallies that he was all the time like checking doing this thing with his shoulders and his back as well. Like, he was having some, I would almost say, like some back pain. I don't think it was anything serious, but you could just see that he was feeling physically a little bit like uncomfortable, which I'm pretty sure from knowing Victor for many years is just because he was feeling, not great on court, feeling a bit of insecurity. He ended up losing the match as well after a pretty controversial call on 18 all in the final game, where he was urging for the umpire to call a fault on Ginting, who was killing the rally at the net. And it looked like it was very close if the shuttle was actually on Ginting's side or Victor's side, but also from some of the replays it shows that Ginting actually touched the net a little bit with his racket. So obviously a very crucial point to get a call like that not go his way, Victor, but no one knows if he would have won the match anyway. It was still only 19-18, so you cannot know. But Victor had all the momentum. He had been down 18-12 and came back to 18-all. But anyway, he lost the match. Ginting played amazing and ended up making the final. So I won't really say that Victor made a case for him in terms of being the real world number one, if you can call it that. But I also have to say Shi Yuqi, he also didn't really do anything to convince that he's the guy to beat now. He survived a very tough first round against Rasmus Gemke, in which he could as well have lost. He was down 19-17 in the third, showed all his class and experience to win that one 21-19. and then looked very good in the second round against Chico Badoyo from Indonesia, who he had also beaten the week before in France in the semi-final. But then apparently he played with an illness in his quarterfinal against Jonathan Christie from Indonesia. From what I read online, he had a fever of 39 and ended up pulling out after the first game. So you can't really judge him from this tournament, but also he didn't really do anything to make sure that we can now say that he's the guy to beat. So I'll say just all square between these two guys. It's still Victor world number one on the rankings, and I would still say maybe Shiuchi is the most informed player, even though he had to pull out in the quarterfinal of this tournament. Just to wrap up the men's singles, well, it ended up with an all-Indonesian final. First time in 30 years that happened, and not since Abi won it in 94 against Viranata. And it's actually the first Indonesian finalist since 2002 in men's singles. So that's pretty crazy for a big nation like Indonesia. And it's completely unexpected that Jonathan Christie ended up winning. He was unseeded. He lost first round in French Open the week before. Ginting, who he beat in the final, lost the second round. And yeah, none of them have really performed well over the past few months. So I was actually considering last week to see if maybe Chico Badoyo had a small outside chance of qualifying instead of one of those two guys. But yeah, he was too many points behind, and now for sure he has absolutely no chance at all. Another small note from the men's singles is that Lakshya Sen from India, almost secured his spot in Paris these two past weeks in France and All England. He's right now 5,000 points ahead of number 17 in the rankings. He needs to stay top 16 to make sure that India gets two spots. They already have HS Pranoy who will qualify, so Lakshya needs to stay top 16 to also qualify. It looked a little bit tough for him before France and All England, but two very good performances, losing in the semi-final here in Birmingham, has made sure that he's almost very, very certain of qualifying. And I actually think also in terms of how well he played, he beat Anders Antonsen, lost the semi-final. I had him as I thought he was actually going to win the tournament when I saw the semi-final lineup, but he lost out to Christie, who played really well, but still two amazing weeks for Lakshya Sen. Let's move on to the women's singles. In the women's singles, the question I asked last week was who of the three Chinese women's singles that are chasing Chen Yufei will actually get to go to the Paris Olympics. It was between Han Yu, Hibing Zhao, and Wang Xiyi. They're all quite close in the rankings, and maybe some of them could give us an answer during All England, with that being the last of the World Tour tournaments that are rated as a Super 1000. I know the Asian Championships are also rated as Super 1000. But this one is the last open one where anyone or everyone could enter. Han Yu, if we start with her, she did what expected, but was not close in her quarterfinal against An Se-young, which I think is not enough for her. Like, she needs to beat some of the top players, in my opinion, to overtake Hibing Zhao, who, in my eyes, it's her spot right now. She's the highest ranked. She's 6th in the race to Paris. Han Yu is 7, and I think there's only 1,100 points between them, but still, Hibing Zhao has over many years now showed that she has maybe a bit more class than Han Yu and the other girls. So I think it's her spot to lose right now. So I think Han Yu needed to show a little bit more than what she did. Also, Wang Xiyi, she beat Aya Ohori from Japan, which was quite a strong win in the first round, but then lost 21-13, 21-8 to Carolina Marin. So I don't think also she really did anything to prove a point this week. So even though Hibing Zhao lost in the quarterfinal once again, and she can't really get to that like final step of making a big final, she's still the one that showed the most. I know she lost 22-20 in the third against Tai Su Ying after leading 8-0 and 11-4 in the third. But still, the other two girls couldn't really do anything to go past her. So, yeah, I think it's her spot right now. I'm just curious to see if the Chinese Federation will actually also trust her in the end, because she hasn't been able to make these big finals. She hasn't been able to win tournaments for a long time now. So it will be interesting to see if the Asian Championships will play any part in who's going to be picked. Hibing Zhao is 1,100 points ahead of Han Yu, and now Wang is 5,000, another 5,000 points behind. One other thing to note from the women's singles, in terms of Olympic qualification, is the race between the Thai girls. Right now, Ratchanok is ranked 14 in the race to Paris, and she is very certain of qualifying. But between Supanida, Pompawee, and Busanan, they all need to get into top 16 to get that second spot. Right now, Supanida is 500 points on the right side as number 16, where Pompawee is 2,500 points behind at 18. And yeah, right now, Okuhara, Nozomi Okuhara from Japan, she's only 500 points behind Supanida at 17, and Okuhara is also fighting to make that top 16 to at least have a chance of going as the number two from Japan. So that's a very interesting battle to follow in the upcoming events. For the men's doubles, I asked to see if Li Jiehui and Yang Pu Xuan could keep their Olympics hope alive. They have made a very late charge for Olympic qualification by winning the German Open and making the final last week at French Open. So out of nowhere, basically, they all of a sudden added a little bit of pressure on the defending Olympic champions, Wang and Li from Chinese Taipei, who haven't really performed well for a long time. I know the gap was still 10,000 points before this tournament at All England, but I said they needed to make at least a semi-final in Birmingham to keep the race alive, and that's exactly what they did. They did make the semi-final. Unfortunately for them, they had no chance against So and Chia from Malaysia in that semi-final. So they got a little bit closer to Wang and Li, but the bad news for Li Jiehui and Yang Pu Xuan is that Wang and Li, for the first time in a long time, also beat one of the top pairs. They beat the Chinese number one, Wang and Liang, in the second round and made the quarterfinal. So still now there's 7,000 points between them. I'm still not sure that you can trust that Wang and Li will play at their best, but I still think that Li and Yang in some ways made sure that at least their hope is still alive. Unfortunately for them, they have not entered neither Swiss Open or Spain Masters. So the last tournament for them will be the Asian Championships, where there's a lot of points at stake. But I think it will take maybe a final or even a win for them to be picked ahead of Wang and Li. So can they do it? Well, you cannot rule it out with them winning the German Open and making the final of French Open. But it's a tough task for them right now, I think. Overall, it was a very crazy men's doubles tournament, I would say. All the four top seeds went out before the quarterfinal, which is very unusual. I think Chia and So from Malaysia looked like the best pair all the way until the final. But maybe that final jinx came up for them again. As you might remember, they have only won one World Tour tournament, which they won late last year, which was the first time they won a World Tour event at the Denmark Open. But now, yeah, again, they lost the final, this time against Alfian and Arianto, and I really do not know where that came from. It's completely out of the blue that the top Indonesian pair won the All England. I know they were defending champions, but since winning the All England last year, they've only made one final, which was Korea Open, and they lost that one, and that was last year. So they haven't made any finals since winning All England last year. Now, all of a sudden, they make a final again, and they win the All England again. That is a pretty crazy feat from Alfian and Arianto. And it will be very interesting to see if they can keep up that kind of performance over the next few months and maybe actually have a shot at becoming Olympic champions. We cannot rule that out now. I didn't have them in contention for a big title like that, but now we have to respect the result they produced this week in Birmingham. And if they can reproduce that, then of course they have a chance of also winning gold in Paris. In terms of qualifying for Paris, Maulana and Fikri, the second Indonesian pair, their attempt to reach number 8, which is what you need to be ranked in doubles to qualify two pairs, gained a little bit of traction in Birmingham. They gained 2,300 points, so that now they are 3,300 behind Liu and Oh from China, who is occupying that 8th spot at the moment. Maulana and Fikri, they will play Swiss Open during this week, where they can gain 1,000 points if they make a semi-final, 2,000 if they make a win the title. So then they will have the Asian Championships left after that to make up the final ground to catch Liu and Oh, who are only participating in the Asian Championships. So a little bit of interesting battle between those two pairs going on for the a spot at the Olympics. Because if Liu and Oh from China go out of top 8, they will also not qualify, as there is already another pair in top 8 right now, ranked 2 in the world. So interesting to follow that battle for qualification. In the women's doubles, we were looking to see if Chen and Jia from China could finally break the drought in winning the women's doubles title for China. But as I said, they had a tricky second round against Tina and Pearly Tan from Malaysia, and surprisingly they lost that one in straight games, 22-20, 21-16. So it was Shida and Matsuyama in the final again from Japan, who we saw lose that close one in French Open last week to Chen and Jia. But this time they lost the final again, this time just to Lee Soo-hee and Bai Kana from South Korea. That means that now China hasn't won the women's doubles title 5 years in a row, and they've only won it twice in the last 10 years. And maybe that doesn't sound too crazy, like a lot of countries would be happy with a couple of titles in 10 years in All England. But before this run of 10 tournaments and only two wins, China had five different pairs splitting seven titles in a row between them. And since 1996, China won 18 of the previous 21 titles before this bad run of 5 years now with no title. So they won 18 of 21, and now all of a sudden they almost seem to cannot be able to win that title. It's very surprising and quite weird also, because they actually at the moment still have three pairs who are ranked top 10 in the world, and one pair who is far and beyond the world number one. But again, they failed, and I think for the Paris Olympics, it brings some interesting perspective, as I thought that Chen and Jia was going to be like very clear favorites, and now maybe they showed a little bit of nerves in a big situation. So yeah, we'll see. They'll still go into the Olympics being favorites, I'm sure, but at least they showed this week they can be shaken a little bit. I think the most interesting Paris battle in terms of qualifying is probably Hirota and Fukushima, the former world number ones from Japan. Right now they are ranked 8. Matsumoto Nakahara from Japan are ranked 7. And then there's, of course, Shida and Matsuyama ranked higher than both those pairs. Only two can qualify. Right now there's 2,800 points between Hirota Fukushima and Matsumoto Nakahara. The Asian Championships will decide between these two pairs, and as they are not playing Swiss Open or Spain Masters the next 2 weeks. But I think Hirota and Fukushima will probably have to win to really make a case to be picked over Matsumoto and Nakahara. And with how Hirota is looking right now with her knee, her movement is very hampered. I think it's very, very tough to see them being picked over Matsumoto and Nakahara. But yeah, time will tell. We'll see at the Asian Championships. There's also a pretty intense battle for the last qualifying spot, but that's all between pairs that I don't really think would make a big impact at the games. But I think I will, after the Spain and Swiss Opens, I will make an episode with I will go through the most interesting Olympic battles before the Continental Championships, which will be the last tournament that counts toward Olympic qualifying. So that could be quite interesting if there's some nice battles shaping up, and I'm sure there will be some battles that will be decided only at the very final week of Olympic qualifying tournaments. Let's move on to the final category, where that was the question was a little bit unusual, as we were actually asking if Rino Rivaldi and Peter Mentardi from Indonesia, if they're capable of not playing, the All England would pay off for them. And I think it just only did that. They decided to play the All Young Masters Super 300 instead. They lost the final, but they scored just enough points to now be 224 points ahead of He and Tan from Singapore. So only 224 points, that's basically nothing at all. But that's all that gives them the edge in terms of qualifying for the Olympics at the moment. He and Tan, they did actually take advantage of a good first round draw at the All England. But yeah, it was not enough, as Rinov and Peter Mentali, they made the final in Orléans. So we'll have to see over the next few weeks if they can regain that spot. But unfortunately for both He and Tan and Rinov and Peter, Peak Tavaling, who they're also fighting with for this final spot, they had a magical run in All England and made it all the way to the semi-final. So they're now 3,100 points ahead of Rinov. It's too early to say, though, that the qualifying is certain, because you also have Goh and Lai from Malaysia, only 500 points behind He and Tan. And all these four pairs I've mentioned here, they will play both the Swiss Open, the Spain Masters, and of course their Continental Championships, so the Asian Championships and European Championships. And as Peak and Tabling showed in All England last week, anything can happen for these pairs. A semi-final can change everything. A final can change everything, so it's too early to conclude anything, as all of these pairs has pretty low scoring points as some of the results. So if they get one good result, they will gain a lot of extra points. So the way the system works is that your 10 best results count. So obviously if your 10th best result is very low and you get a very high one, then the difference in points will be a lot. So we'll just have to wait and see with Swiss, Spain and Continental Championships still going on. But no doubt Peak and Tavaling, they made a really good case for themselves this week at the All England. And I actually have to mention also Dijan Fadisaya and Gloria Vijaya from Indonesia. They also have a small chance to get in the mix for this final spot. They're only 1,600 points behind and they are also playing all the events. Right, guys and girls, that was a lot of recapping from All England, a lot of talk about qualifying for the Olympics. I hope you found it interesting. I hope I made sense of all the numbers and everything. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I will be back again soon with another episode and take up some of the questions that you guys, all my patrons, have sent me. So I'll get back to that. And thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for supporting. I'll be back soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.